I'm so thankful that we have this time to be together. I look forward, as I was telling you the other day, to my two sisters and my brother coming this weekend. But this is my family right here, and I'm glad to be here with you. Okay, Gary, you can go ahead. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'd like to look at the last two verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul declares, "Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand." Let's pray together. Our Father, we are so thankful that you allow us the privilege to be able to be here tonight. Lord, that you've allowed the gospel to remain these many years is a miracle of your grace. And Lord, I ask you this evening, as we've assembled ourselves together, Lord, to hear the word of the Lord, to pray together, to observe the Lord's Supper. Lord, would you bless our time together? Forgive us where we failed you. Keep us for Christ's sake. Amen. In verses 23 and 24 that we just read, the Apostle Paul is now coming back and is going to give an answer to a charge that had been laid upon him by those who were found within the assembly of the saints there in Corinth. It was some that not only accused him of being inconsistent in his promises to the church, but also they were accusing him of being inconsistent in his doctrine. Just look back in this same chapter, chapter 1, 2 Corinthians. Look at verses 17 to 19. He said, "When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness?" And he's talking about when I originally told you that I was going to be able to come to Corinth first. That was my plans. Then I would go to Macedonia, and then I was going to come back to visit with you again after Macedonia. He said, that's what I originally planned to do. But he said, the Lord providentially hindered me from doing it. I wasn't able to do it. And so what happened was there were some within the congregation, and they started accusing Paul, you know, you're just inconsistent and your doctrine's wrong. And here's what he's saying. Verse 17, "When I therefore was thus minded," because I couldn't come when I thought I would, "did I use lightness or the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word," and this is his answer to those that were accusing him of being inconsistent. I just preached on this Sunday, so you know what I'm talking about. "But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay." He said, when the gospel is preached, it's yea, yea, and nay, nay. There's no yes and no about it. There's no inconsistency about it. So we know that the Apostle Paul's steps were absolutely ordered by the Lord when he could not come to Corinth first. We know that. The steps, the scripture declares, of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord. So we know that Paul's steps were ordered by God. But now, he's going to reveal the will of the Lord as to the reason why the Lord did not permit him to come. Now, the Lord ordered those changes. You know, the lot's laid into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So when he didn't come, it was obvious. He had to go here. He was commissioned to go here. And he said, I could not do what I originally thought. But now he's going to say, I'm going to tell you why I didn't come. Verse 23. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul. Now he said this in order to establish this truth. Anybody's going to be able to say, well, you're just making this up. And you're going to give some reason why you didn't come. Paul said, I call upon the Lord God of heaven for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Now Paul had been charged with treating the serious matter of preaching the gospel disrespectfully. He had been charged with being thoughtless and inconsistent. And now here he tells the church there in Corinth with an oath. He said, now I call upon the Lord himself to be a witness to what I'm saying, that it's true. I was, he said, hindered, and I was redirected by the Holy Spirit to go to Macedonia before I came to Corinth. I was directed by the... But the ultimate and the first reason he did not come was because God's will and God's purpose to show mercy and compassion to the church there at Corinth. The Lord directed Paul to go elsewhere because God was going to show pity and compassion to that church. And I'll show you what he's talking about. He said he wasn't purposefully being fickle or inconsistent, but he knew that if he did come when he purposed to come, when he would have come in the midst of such an irregular and disorderly state, he would have. He's saying right now, and I'm going to show you this by what he said back in 1 Corinthians in just a second, but he said, if I would have come, he said, I would have with apostolic authority, I would have dealt with that church, with you, that church there in Corinth, I would have dealt with you in a very severe matter. I would have dealt with you very, very harshly. He said, with the things that were going on in Corinth, when he first purposed to come, he said, I would have come with a rod. And he knew that such discipline would have been painful, not only to them, but also to himself. So knowing the inconsistencies that were found in Corinth, the apostle wrote to them in his first epistle concerning in the envy and strife and division. That was in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he told them, he said, you're carnal. You're walking as unregenerates. He said, what is the matter? They were bickering over which preachers they like best. I'll just hit these high points, and you'll remember we went over all this. They were bickering over their favorite preachers. Some of them hailed to Paul. Well, we're of Paul. Well, we're of Apollos. We're of Cephas. And the apostle told them, he said, Who is Paul? Who's Apollos? Who's Cephas? He said, we are ministers by whom you believed. And Paul plants and Apollos waters, but God gives the increase. And so they were there was division over that. They were over stuff that did not matter. There was one among them who was living and committing incest with his mother-in-law, and the church permitted it. Paul told him, he said, Don't have any fellowship with him. Get him out. Don't. Put him out. Put him out. They were talking about each other and to each other. They were taking each other to court, going before unjust judges, and there were problems in their marriages that weren't being dealt with in a right way. They were arguing whether or not one should be circumcised or not circumcised, whether it was right to eat meat offered to idols. It was nothing but one big argument. And they had misconceptions concerning the right of God's ministers to have adequate compensation. They were arguing about and fussing about how much the preacher made. They were being abusive and disrespectful concerning the Lord's Supper, and their desire for the spiritual gifts was above the love of the brethren. That's what he dealt with in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, if I don't have love, I can have all knowledge and understanding. If I don't have love, I'm just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And he dealt with them concerning their lack of love for each other. And all they were doing was just magnifying their ignorance of God's authority to place his people within the body as the Lord sees fit. They were bickering about positions and concerning all of these inconsistencies. This is where Paul, hold your place right there. Just turn back to 1 Corinthians 4:21. 1 Corinthians 4:21. He wrote this letter under the inspiration of God's Spirit by the good pleasure of the Lord. He said in 1 Corinthians 4:21, he said, "What will you? What do you want me to do? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness?" The Apostle Paul, he loved these people at Corinth. He loved them. But there was so much inconsistency. Paul, he was an apostle, and he was sent. He was authorized of the Lord to raise up and to discipline and to teach these churches. And Paul said, with the inconsistencies that were going on, he said, I'm telling you what I would have done. He said, I would have come. Now, back in 2 Corinthians 1:23, he said, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet to Corinth. The Lord directed Paul's path another way because of God's pleasure to not have Paul deal with them that way, but rather write him a letter. That's what the Lord did. That's why 1 Corinthians is written. Paul addressed the problems that were going on and told them, this is what you need to do, rather than go. Now, that just amazed me, that the Lord would not allow this apostle to go. You know, you say, well, why would the Lord not allow him to go? Why did the Lord not allow him to go to Asia? Because God wasn't pleased to. That's the only answer you can get. He said, so I'm telling you, he said, I was redirected. Providentially, I was redirected because had I come, I would have come with a rod, and we're going to see that I won't go into it tonight, but I'm going to just read this to you. Chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, just the first few verses. He said, "I determined this with myself that I would not come again to you in heaviness, for if I make you sorry, who is he that maketh me glad? But the same which is made sorry by me." He said, if I go and I came with a rod, he said, you who I truly love, who would make me happy? You're the ones that I wanted to be with. But I could not let this go on. I just couldn't let it go on. It had to be dealt with. And he said, I'm thankful that the Lord directed me another way. And I didn't have to come. and deal with you, you know. And he said, I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. He's saying, I want you to know something. He said, the Lord kept me from coming there. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that he did. He said, I'm thankful that in the wisdom of Almighty God, God was pleased. Paul, you write him a letter. You write him a letter. I told you about what Brother Henry said to me one time. He said, if you ever want to say something to somebody, he said, write him a letter. He said, it'll give you some time to think it through. It'll give you some time to lay down your words carefully. And he said, it'll give them some time to go back and read it again. And he said, that's the best way to communicate. He said, if you really have something heavy on your heart and you want to tell somebody, write him a letter. That's what the Lord did. I don't doubt for one second that's probably where Brother Henry got that. You know, you write him a letter. And you know how in the heat of the moment, you know, you come over there and there's all kinds of inconsistencies. And Paul said, the reason I didn't come, it was to spare you. And then he says in verse 24, he says, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. He said, I would have come because he did have the authority from God. He had the authority to correct, you know, by these churches and these inconsistencies. He did have that authority. But he said, I'm writing you something to let you know this. Though I'm telling you, had I come, and I would have not spared you, I wouldn't have. He said, I don't want you to think that we feel that we rule over or lord over your faith. But he said that we might be helpers to you to promote your joy, for in your belief that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that's where you stand. By faith, Paul, like every God-called preacher, he knows, I know, every preacher called of God knows that he doesn't have the right or the power or the authority to lord over God's heritage. But Paul was now assuring his hearers. He says, though I had to tell you that had I come because of the inconsistencies, because of those gross, insensitive errors that were being committed and allowed to be going on, he said, I couldn't do that without saying something. And the Lord was the one that caused me to write to you. But I'm assuring you now that the Holy Spirit is taught me, and I'm telling you that your joy in the Lord is my desire and hope. And that's what I pray that you might experience. He said, but we're helpers of your joy. Now let me tell you very quickly what he was saying. Joy, first of all, is the fruit. You know that. Love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. Love, joy. That's the fruit of God's Spirit. And joy is that which is wrought in the soul only by the Lord. It's that calm delight, that peaceful rest that by faith has been produced by the Lord Jesus Christ, a calm that has only the Lord as its object. Joy, he said, I'm a helper, we're helpers of your joy. That joy is a grace that is experienced. It's joy. It's experienced within a new heart that has been settled when the Spirit of God blesses the truth of the gospel to the believer. They're resting. They're taught. They're settled. That precious gospel, which is the declarations of God, of God's eternal purpose and love for his people, that hearing that message over and over and over, it never gets monotonous. Notice what an unbeliever will always say about hearing the gospel. We've experienced that here. Don't y'all ever talk about anything else? Clay Curtis told me, somebody told me, said, don't you have any other material besides that? No, we don't. Here's the message that we preach, the gospel, the message that we, last Sunday, you know, Jesus Christ and him crucified, that entails all of it. That's the extent of it. Paul says, I wanted to let you know that I must have corrected you had I come. But he said, I wasn't coming, we weren't coming, that we would have dominion, that we would lord over you, that we were going to be dictating to you concerning your faith. But the reason that I would have had to have dealt with it was that I might be a helper in your joy. He said, we don't dominate you. And though he knew that he was going to have to do it, he wanted to ensure them that this is the reason that he would have had to have not spared the rod. He said that I might help you concerning your joy. He said, we've been called of God to send, preach God's word and commissioned to feed and comfort the flocks and be co-laborers and companions of your joy, that you might be established in the faith. And so Paul's purpose of correction was nothing less than the Lord's correction through his preacher, and that their joy might be established. He was the only way it was going to happen, Paul says. Those problems would have had to be addressed. Paul said, if I didn't address them, if they just kept going on, he says, it's just going to get worse. That's what's going to happen. It's just the hindrances and the envy and strife and division, he said, it would get worse and worse. So to be a helper in your joy, he said, I was going to have to deal with it. But I was going to deal with it with you knowing that it was totally out of my love for you. As long as that division remained, there was not going to be any joyful communion in the assembly. This is how the Lord deals with us, his people. He sends pastors after his own heart to feed the flock with knowledge and understanding. And whenever there's problems, whenever there's anything, what happens is they're addressed. And when they're addressed, it's for this reason, Paul says, that we might be a helper to you. I've told you before, and you all, like your kids, whenever our children were growing up and they were disobedient, man, I can remember thinking, why do you not listen? Didn't you hear me tell you that, you know, and I hated to have to spank them. I hated to do that. But why did I have to deal with my children with discipline? Why? Because I loved them. If I didn't deal with it, then they'd think it's okay. That's just the way it's done. And you don't have to address it. And it gets worse and worse and worse. But when I told them, go over there in that bedroom, I'll be there in a minute, they knew. They knew what was good. It wasn't that I hated them. I loved them. Paul said, I want you to know, had I come, I would have come with a rod. But he said, I'm not coming to lord over your faith. I'm not coming. He said, I'm coming to be a co-helper, co-worker for your joy. I wanted to come for that reason. And the Lord chastens us for the error of our ways, that the error might be exposed and corrected for his glory and for our good. So Paul comforted the assembly. Though he told them, he said, this is the problem. This is the problem. And he said, I will have to address it, but I'm addressing it for this reason, for your good, for God's glory, for by faith we stand. Faith that comes from hearing the truth. That blessed grace, gift of faith. That gift whereby the Lord maintains his people. They're his people who are kept by the power of God through faith. But where does that faith come from? It's from hearing the truth. The only thing that's going to set a man or woman free is the truth. We're kept, we're guarded over by God's power through the means of hearing the gospel unto salvation ready to be revealed to us in the last time. We see right now through a glass darkly, we really do. But I tell you what, there's a time coming when faith is going to give way to sight. So right now, Paul says, by faith you stand. Every time the church meets together to hear the Lord's word, every time. Now, I was made to think of, muse on this today very, very carefully. And I'm going to weigh my words only according as the Lord speaks. So I'm going to tell you this is a very, very sobering thought to me when I stand here. Because, see, I'm just like you are. There's no difference in me and you. We're all cut out of the same lump. We've been chosen by the same grace, redeemed by the same blood, if we're the Lord's. But now, every time that the church meets together to hear the Lord's word, every time I stand up or any gospel preacher stands up and speaks out of this book, let me tell you who's speaking. The Lord. It's the Lord. If I'm speaking according to these scriptures, the Lord is speaking. He's speaking to the flock. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And someone says, well, I've never heard. Well, I'm telling you that this is how, and I'm going to show you scripture. This is how the Lord speaks. God is speaking. And he's been pleased to communicate through the means of pastors, preachers. But it's his voice that we hear. Why? That we might be joyful in him, be established in the faith. Now listen to what the Lord said in Luke 10:16. He that heareth you. Talking to his disciples concerning the preaching of the gospel. He that heareth you heareth me. And he that despiseth you, he that disesteems or rejects you, he that doesn't give you respect for what you're preaching that I said, he despises me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. So by faith we walk in this world, living upon him who has promised to never leave us, never forsake us, and we're constantly receiving from the Spirit of God faith. Faith cometh. It cometh right now, ever needing to hear again the gospel, ever needing to hear again what the Lord has preached. This is what the Lord, but I took these two verses right here. You know what Paul the Apostle told Timothy? Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. I got to looking. I'm going to be honest with you. I've not spoken out of 2 Corinthians now for about 4 weeks. And I'll tell you why. These last two verses right here, I did not feel as though that I had the Lord's mind on what it was saying, what it meant. And so I didn't say anything. I just waited. And then I I felt that the Lord opened my understanding concerning this. These two verses right here was all completely concerning God's mercy, grace, tenderness, pity, long-suffering to his people. He called Paul to preach, and Paul was going to do it. But Paul, like all of us, needed to be tempered. And the Lord redirected him, said, Paul, no, you write him a letter. And then Paul wrote him a letter. And then he's telling him right here, he said, I'd have come, this is what I'd have done. But the Lord told me, write this letter. But he said, I want you to know this. He said, I wrote it, I wanted to come because of my love for you. Faith, he said, by faith ye stand. Faith in Christ. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that's not seen. Faith, that's that new eye that sees him who is invisible, that new ear that hears him who speaks to his people. By faith, we taste that the Lord is good, and faith is that evidence that the Lord has been gracious to us. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Mr. Spurgeon, in closing, said this: faith is not one single act done and ended on a certain day, but faith is an act that continues and perseveres by the grace and power of God throughout the entire life of a believer. And I thought to myself, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you would not allow us to continue to go on in a silly, disrespectful way toward the Lord and toward his people. Lord, that you would kindly and gently, aren't you glad he doesn't deal with us after our sins? Aren't you glad he doesn't? And I tell you this, I'll end this using again my kids for an example. After I would have to deal with them, of course they didn't want a whipping. I didn't want a whipping, they didn't want a whipping, but they were going to get it. But after I would spank them, they would just hug me, and I'd tell them I love you. And that was the most tender time of, you know what I mean? I mean, you just hold them. You kiss them, you tell them, say, listen, I don't enjoy doing that, but it's because I love you. It's because I don't want you to keep doing that. And you just knit together. Children love to know where the lines are, and so does God's people. I want to know. I pray God bless this word to our heart for Christ's sake and for our good this evening. All right, the men will come.